Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. This evening, we bring you a program I pre-recorded earlier today with Sami Kassin. Sami Kassin is an impersonator who does dead-on impersonations of famous characters both in the Jewish and the non-Jewish world. But why let me tell you about it? Instead, let him demonstrate. Good evening, Sami.
Good evening, Chaim. Good evening to everybody out there. Wow. Beautiful night, beautiful day. Wow, okay, great. Good to be here.
So, Sami, how did you get into impersonation? What made a nice Jewish boy suddenly become somebody who imitates everybody, who makes fun of everybody?
I don't know if I'm... you consider me a nice Jewish boy? I don't know if I'm going to say a nice Jewish boy. We use that word loosely, especially when it comes to me. Do I know what a nice Jewish boy is? Well, how did it all start? I don't know. First of all, when I was a kid, maybe from 1 year old, my parents would put me in front of the TV set, and I would watch these people, and whoever I watched, Superman, Batman, all these people, I said, I want to be exactly like them. I wanted to fly out the window. When I watched Superman, I wanted to get glasses just like Clark Kent. So... just so I could, the way he took off the glasses and went into the room. I used to do that at 3-4 years old, I'm doing that. So like, I remember I didn't really need glasses, but my mother took me to the eye doctor and I cheated on the exam just to get glasses. I was nuts. I'm cheating on the eye. So the guy, the doctor probably was shrewd. He knew how to put the clear lenses, so he tricked me. So, P.S., I never ended up wearing glasses. I had to borrow my father's glasses. I used to bump into walls, but I was Superman. That was the main thing. And then, afterwards, in school, it all started like so many people. I started to imitate the teachers. I would get up in front of the class, do the teacher dead on. I remember one of the teachers, Mr. Taub. I walked in. Mr. Taub had a way of talking. I would walk in. He would walk in before he walked in the class. I'm getting up on front of the class. I'm imitating him. All of a sudden, he comes in. He sits down. He watches me. He tells me, I would even pay to see something like that, Sam. So be cool. You know, you gotta behave good. You gotta get good marks. The guy was as white as a ghost, and he spoke in a stereotypical, you know, African American kind of voice, which was weird about that, you know. That was the thing, and it all started. My first impression, I would say, was Marv Albert. Marv Albert, the sportscaster of the Knicks and Rangers. Oh, I couldn't play ball good, but Marv was my hero. I wanted to be an announcer. Nobody would pick me on the teams. Everybody thought I was the worst ball player that there was. But Marv Albert, and he saved my life because the other kids wanted to pick on me. So I used to listen to Marv, and, you know, the next to the forecourt, right side of the circle, inbound Frazier from 35, yes! And now, inbounds the ball, and now he shoots from 25, inside the Busher. The Busher inside, return around, jump, yes! And it counts! And the next lead, 95-87, with 3:25 left in this fourth quarter, and a technical foul! So I would do that all day long, and that's what saved my life. It saved me from the other kids beating me up. And then I would announce the kids, you know, when they would play ball. Moshe, right side of the circle, gives to Avraham. Avraham does not pick Sammy again for the third consecutive game. So that's how it all started. He's like the first one. So, you know.
Okay, we have heard already how you started, but tell me something. What exactly is your background? The surname Kassin comes from a famous line of Rabbanim from Syria. Tell us a little bit about it.
Kassin, by the way, I think I'm an embarrassment to the Kassin name. Are you kidding? I don't know. I don't live... it's a family of Rabbanim. How did I get to be like... where did I come from? I can't believe it. You go down my history, you have Rabbanim all down the line, my great-grandparents, grandparents. How'd you end up? Not only that, you know, I come from a family of Rabbanim and business people. I'm not a businessman. You know, the worst... So the name Kassin actually means officer. So the first Kassin was a man named Señor Shlomo Kassin from Spain. He was the first one, and it's a Syrian name, and I guess that's why I always feel I have some Spanish blood in me.
Porque cuando uno está hablando así, uno te está diciendo cuando se va para allá. I can't get that Spanish out of me. So I guess that's really where it's from. I don't know if I come from a big, big family, 10 uncles and aunts, God bless them, and some of them are here, some of them are not here, and a lot of cousins. Yeah, the Kasson family is very big, very huge. I meet cousins all the time that I even knew I had. God bless them. Wow, the Kasson family is very big.
And actually, they are not just in Syria, not just in the States, but I've even heard of Kasins in Argentina.
Yeah, I can imagine, because in Argentina they have a way of talking like they're singing.
Sí, mi nombre es Kasin, eso no se hace, ay Dios mío, no se puede. Argentina, my name is Kasin, I think we're related, eso se dice, mi primo.
Right? Is that accurate?
That's quite accurate. That's
is that the way they
a little exaggerated, but that's expected in impersonation. That's what makes it funny.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, that's so. How do I know that? Because when I was in Israel, I had Argentinian friends on the kibbutz.
So
I remember them. They talking to me, and when they speak Hebrew, they have that same voice.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Im ani atzvani ani olech habayta, ata tzochek yoter midai.
So I remember that.
Okay, since you've already shown us that you can do some impressions, I want to hear you doing the real stuff. Let's start with some impressions of some Jewish personalities.
Jewish personalities. There's so many personalities. Probably one of the first people, besides Marv Albert, that I did was a great comedian, Jackie Mason, who, you know, a lot of people thought I was his son. So, for some reason, I don't know. So I walked up to him. I saw him one time in Florida, in Miami, walking the streets. And I walked up to him and I says, Jackie, you know, a lot of people think that I'm your son. Would you believe it? He says, are you nuts? If I was your father, I would get rid of you right away. I would never have you. Are you talking? What kind of, what is that? Telling me I could be your son? I'll have a divorce right now. How could I have a person like me have a son like that? You know what I'm talking? But everybody wants to be my son. And I'm not going to give you any money because you think that I'm your son. I know you want money for me, but I'm not going to give you a dollar. I'm not even going to give you a penny. So that's how it all started. But right, you know, I used to be a rabbi, but I left the rabbi because I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't walk. I couldn't walk away. I wanted to be a poison. I wanted to worship this. I wanted to worship that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't want yet.
That was quite good. In fact, I thought that Jackie Mason was sitting right in front of me. Who else?
Jewish. The other person is like real Jewish. You talk about someone from Israel. The Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu.
Ah, Bibi.
Bibi Netanyahu, yeah. The thing about Bibi is that he has a way of using the vocabulary. He's not American, but he uses such a high level of vocabulary, you would think
he went to MIT. He graduated from MIT.
Yeah, because a lot of times people can't even understand them.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks better English than me, and I was born here. He has a way of using these difficult words that nobody understands. You ever hear him?
Yeah.
The dichotomies of the Israeli and Palestinian manifestations, which therefore are delicacies of the senile manufacturers of the Israeli-Palestinian dictatorships, which therefore elicit the congregations of the manifestations of the dichotomies of the Palestinian clauses, which we're trying to say is that someday there will be peace.
One of the remarkable things of sitting here in front of Sami Kasin, and unfortunately you can't see it on radio as you would on a live performance on television, are the facial expressions. So as you're listening to his impersonations, try to use your mind's eye and try to visualize how the face changes as he does each one of his different characters. Now, I understand he also has quite a few characters that he created himself. I'd like to hear some of them, but he also wants to explain something, so let's hear it.
Yeah, my facial, I move my face so much it's hurting me now, Chaim. I mean, I had to move around so much, my face, like, wow, ooh. Sometimes I get like a stiff jaw, like my eye doesn't move afterwards. I mean, Netanyahu, the way he moves his head. So you were talking about characters. Yeah, I created characters. You know, growing up in Brooklyn, New York,
That's where I'm from. You know, Brooklyn. Yeah, Brooklyn used to be like this. This was the old Brooklyn. Yeah, forget about it. Yeah, this is definitely, yeah, this is the way I grew up, you know, with the people from the streets. Yeah, get out of here. Now Brooklyn is like, this is the accent now in Brooklyn.
Hello, my name is Igor. You know, I was doctor in Russia, but now I drive car service. I will make you...
That's Natasha, that's his wife. You know, I got mixed up between Boris and Natasha. What is it like this? He lived in my neighborhood. You know, Sammy, you mind my friend. I want you to, you know, play ball with me. I will not play baseball. Baseball not allowed in Russia because you're not allowed to steal base. We kick ball, we play soccer, we're not allowed to steal. This is why we can't do it.
So, yeah, so character. So you grow up in Brooklyn, so, like, that's a different accent, you know. It's different. So now, one of the things is, I have my cousin from Israel. His name is Shlomo. Same name like me. My name is Shlomo in Hebrew. And when he came to Brooklyn, he totally became a different person. Like, you know, he comes over here and he's like,
look, Shlomo, listen, don't worry, I will make a lot of money in America. Don't worry, listen, I will get married, we open a pizza place. Listen, don't worry, we will come here, we will open a place, I will get green card, I will get married. Sammy, don't worry, I will get you married. Don't worry, you pay me money, I will find you, don't worry. You get green card, you get me green card, I will get you married. Don't worry, Shlomo, תציג, אני מדבר מה אתה מפריע לי.
So, you know, it's people like this. It's people from the neighborhood. So this is how my cousin Shlomo was. Then I grew up with all different types of ethnic groups because I wanted to... I guess it's what you call getting affected by people. I got affected by people in the neighborhood. Like I said, I wanted to be like people on TV, so I wanted to be like other people other than me. Like, I had this Spanish guy in the neighborhood. His name was Jose. And Jose, the funny thing about him was he spoke in half English and half Spanish. You know, so it was like,
a mí, por eso te siete una cosa. Cuando se levanta en la mañana, decir, you better wake up and go to work, baby, because no se pasando your job. Hasta la una de la noche, you're going to be working, baby, because I'm going to come back, play ball. If you're not home, I'm going to tell your mother, their father, te voy a decirte una cosa.
You know, he spoke like that, half and half. But my Spanish really was from my housekeeper that we had. She was Dominican, and I thought I was Dominican until I was 14 years old. Because she, like she raised me. She used to play baseball with me and all that. You know, she used to say,
Sammy, vete a acostar, porque ya viene tu mamá.
You know, she had the Dominican speak like, she used to say, if you don't go to sleep now, your mother's going to come home and you're going to get punished. Yeah. So, like, she used to play ball with me. We used to watch boxing together. Oh. So it's people, you know, growing up in the neighborhood of Brooklyn, you get all these characters.
Absolutely.
You know, these are all characters from my childhood. I have so many other characters.
What are some of the places where you have performed, and what are some of the things that you have performed in?
Jewish functions all over. I performed at Chabad places in Arizona, in California, in Florida. You know, Los Angeles is quite interesting because in L.A., you know, there's like a lot of Chabad there and a lot of people, there's a lot of entertainment there and they wanted me for a lot of parties. I was in Florida and I do a lot of Jewish functions, fundraisers I did, and Chinese auctions, and people that just want to have a good time. You know, we impersonate a lot of people, we imitate a lot of people, create the characters, and so anything, anywhere where there's a stage, you put me on the stage and we'll let it go. People have a good time.
I understand that you've done some of the characters, or at least one character, in Fiddler on the Roof. I'd like to hear it.
Oh, you're talking about... How do you know about that?
Ah, we know a lot of things about you.
Right. Oh, I don't know, okay. Yeah, I played Fyedka, the Russian, on Fiddler on the Roof. I must have been about 11 years old when I did that, you know. So everybody played a Jew. I was the only goy there. And you know, when you're 11 years old, to be the only goy, it's embarrassing. You know, everybody's dressed up in strimals and tzitzit, and I'm the only guy playing a goy. I look like an idiot. So you know, what was my line?
Why don't you want to marry me? Because I'm not Jewish. I want to marry you, Chava.
That's all I remember from that. Fyedka, yeah, the Russian.
Come on, let's run away. Let's go someplace far away where we can be alone together. And we can live. Just because I'm not Jewish doesn't mean you don't want to marry me.
It's a long time ago, Chaim.
Yeah, well, if you were 11, yes, I can hear, it's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So what are some of the other characters, some of the other things you have done besides just plain imitating people? Or how about an impersonation that I heard you do not too long ago, the one about President Obama?
Okay, now President Obama, you'd have to see me, because I get up, I walk around, you know, he has a way about him, whether you like him or not, he has a cool way about him. You know, like the way he walks into a room and he has that voice, you know.
We need to change the country. The country is in bad shape. Of course it's in bad shape. I'm the leader. I can't make any decisions. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of Russia. I'm afraid of Syria. I don't know what to do to the people. I can't make my own decisions. But I'll tell you one thing. Everything that's been happening in this country now is not my fault. You see, I blame my predecessors. It's their fault. I inherited this mess. You have nobody to blame but them. Just ask President Bush about that.
He doesn't want to be a real man. He doesn't want to take blame for himself. When I was president, I did a lousy job all by myself. I didn't blame anyone. I had no predecessors. My popularity's gone up now, so I'm no longer in office.
Quite good, quite good. The voice may not have been dead on, but certainly the tone was there. And watching you with the facial expressions, that was absolutely perfect. Again, it's too bad that on radio you cannot show the facial expressions.
You got to have a TV show now from Mar Chaim.
Absolutely.
We got to get you on TV.
Absolutely. Well, so Sammy, so far we heard a little bit about, you know, who you are, but what we heard was too sketchy. I want to hear a little bit more. Who's the man behind the voice? Who is the real Sammy? Tell us about it. Don't be shy.
The real Sammy? You sure people want to hear this? The real Sammy. Well, first of all, Sammy Kassin is like a name where I got like 8 Sammy Kassins in my family. Because we name after the grandfather. Syrian Jews, by the way, name after their grandfather,
right,
whether they're living or not.
Right.
So, you know, so everybody has a nickname in my family. You know, there's Big Sam, there's Yogi, and so they needed one for me because I didn't have a nickname. They would get confused. Which Sammy Kassin? So finally, well, there's a Rabbi Sammy, but certainly I'm no Rabbi Sammy. So one of my uncles says, you know what? We'll call you Ace. So my other uncle says, Ace? Ace is a high card. Come on, you must be kidding. You're not going to call him Ace. Give him a name that fits him. So they thought about it. He says, all right, Deuce. You know. So the name stuck with me. And I liked it. I don't care. Deuce is wild, Deuce is loose. Every time I would be missing, where's the Deuce? He's loose. So, you know, I got that name. Went to Magen David Yeshiva, and we called it a prison, by the way. And all my life, I was in, there were 3 classes. There was the one class that was being the most advanced, the 2 class mediocre, the 3 class was the slowest. Now, I was always in the 3 class all my life. And one of the reasons I was in the 3 class is because there was no 4 class. So, you know, and like I said, I wasn't so good at sports. There were 2 groups of kids in school. We had the cool kids and then we had the nerdy kids. I was like somewhere in between. I wasn't a nerd, but I wasn't a cool kid either. So all my life, and I do it even till today, I hang out with the nerdy kids because, or nerdy people, because it makes me look cool. I'm always like the king of the nerds. They look to me as a leader. You know? The cool kids, I'm just another face. I grew up with 3 sisters. That's not easy. I'm the only boy.
Okay, and we've already spoken about some of your acts, but what are some of the people that have had an influence in your life? Some of the people that made you the Sammy Kassin that you are today.
Those people, the people that made me Sammy Kassin today, people want to get a hold of them and put those people in jail. Wanted to make me Sammy Kassin. Wow. I'll tell you who influenced me a lot in, you know, in making me want to be like entertaining and doing things. When I was in high school, you know, I couldn't wait to get out of Magen David Yeshiva. And by the way, Magen David wasn't so much of a yeshiva because we had boys and girls. And it was a Sephardic yeshiva, but we had boys and girls mixed, you know.
Mixed classes
mixed
or
classes.
Mixed school?
Mixed, both. a mixed-up school and a mixed school. So you had boys and girls in the same class, except for certain classes. But yeah, we grew up with girls, and it was like, you know, I was very shy of girls. So an influence was when I got to high school, I went to John Dewey High, which is a public school. Imagine, all of a sudden I'm in yeshiva with Jewish kids for 8-9 years, then all of a sudden I'm going to a public school. The people, you know, I'm with all kinds of groups I've never been with in my life that I've never seen. I remember this one girl, she was this Jewish girl, and like a few days later after being in public school, she totally changed. She became like Spanish. You know, in the first day of class, she was like, do we have homeroom class today? Then it was like a couple of weeks later, she was says, what time do we have class next week? She totally changed. So, influence. I took acting class, just like that, 101. And one of my teachers, I'll never forget, Mr. Levy, I'm reading a play. I'm reading a few lines. And then all of a sudden he says, Sam, that was very good. You're a talented kid. You should go into this field. Once he said that, all the other grades went downhill. I had a 98 on the algebra regions. The next geometry, I got a 48, I think. So he's one of my... I wanted to be like the Don Riggles, the people I saw on TV. I wanted to travel. You know, like everybody else. I watched The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson show as a little kid, saying one day I'm going to be a guest. I still think one day I'm going to somehow be a guest. I know I might be 140, but I'd like to be on the show. You know, I used to watch Johnny Carson as a kid. Ah, welcome to The Tonight Show, folks. Ah, so... You know, these are my influences, I would say.
Based on what you said, once you went to public school, it would have sounded logical that you would have thrown off the yoke of religion. And yet, as I see you, as I've met you a few times before, you do seem to be somebody who's from, somebody who's religious, somebody who has a feel and a need for religion. What is it that you could go to a public school, absorb all that secularism, and still remain religious? What is it that draws you towards religion?
The truth, I don't know if I really consider myself religious. We use that word loosely in those days. I don't know how religious I was. I mean, I was Shomer Shabbat a little bit. I kept kosher. You know, you have to remember, I come from a Syrian Sephardic background. So everybody knows what Shabbat is. Everybody knows more or less kashrut. There's some kind of tradition that we always had. Religious, I mean, I think I know a lot more today. I've grown a lot more. I realize a lot more. But talking about when I was 14, 15 years old, nah, I wouldn't use the word religious. I was trying to find myself. I was a very shy, awkward kid. Nah, I wouldn't say the word religious. I would say somewhat traditional. You know, we use that word loosely. I don't even know if I could consider myself religious today. Religious. But, you know, we try to grow. I guess in public schools, it was different being around, wow, it's so long ago. It was a different world at that time. And not that the kids in Mag and David were so religious. You know, I was 11, 12 years old. But there seems to be a resurgence of religion today, more Torah and stuff like that. So I guess it's a slow growth process, and I'm still trying to grow, and I still have a long way to go. I don't think I'm anywhere near where I should be.
You said you do not know if you can call yourself religious, yet you attend Shiurim. Obviously there is something that draws you. Obviously there is something that interests you in whatever religion is. It's part of your search, whether it's a search for yourself, whether it's a search for your roots. Can you explain that?
I go to Shiurim, they pay me to go to Shiurim. I get $100 an hour. No, I'm just kidding. It's the least I could do. You know, I sit there, you know, half the time my mind is running, spacing out, and I try a little bit. It's the least I could do. I guess I have to make up for all the sins that I'm doing. That's why I attend Shiurim. I have to make up, because I don't know if I consider myself that religious.
As someone who grew up in Brooklyn being a city that's extremely diverse, much more diverse than anything else, than any other borough in New York City, certainly much more diverse than almost any other place in the United States, at least in the continental United States, You already gave us a couple of demonstrations of some characters from your youth, some characters from your present. I'd like to hear some more. Do you have any?
Do I have any? It's not that I have any. These are my friends. These characters were my friends. I hung out with them. I got influenced them. I wanted to be like them. They weren't all Jewish, but I stayed Jewish. But I just adopted to all these friends. I just hung out from school. You know, like I mentioned, you know, the guy, Jose, who spoke half and half. You know, when he told you what he was like, Sammy. Una cosa que debaste, dice, that's it, you're going to play ball with me today, hasta las 8 de la noche, I'm going to go back home, hasta cuando se vea la cosa y la que sea, you go back play baseball. So that's like one of my friends. Another my friend was someone in the neighborhood who, this guy was Chinese and he was a convert. And what he did was he opened up a kosher restaurant just for us. Just for the neighborhood, and it was so interesting. And his father did business with my father, you know. So he was like, his name was Wei Ping, and like he was such a good guy. We became good friends. It was like,
oh, Sammy, I open up a restaurant. I make it a kosher for you, a Chinese kosher. I will make a churrent and a kosher matzah ball. Ah, your father? No, my father, but My father said that your father will have money. I will make up a kosher. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I will make you a wangatang, a soup, a kosher. Ah!
Good friend of mine. I made friends with all these people. I had the Pakistani guy in the gas station who was my friend. You know, I would go to his gas station and he would say,
Sammy, you are my friend. You will come to me, I will put gas in your car and I will fix your car any time you want. Don't worry, I will give you good price. When you go to my brother's restaurant, he will give you gas too. Don't worry.
And then the Indian guy, Babuli, down the street, you know, we became friends. The guy had a newsstand, you know, and he spoke a mile.
Oh, I will come to my house. Don't take it off, my friend. Oh, no, I will give you no time for my friend. Don't worry. Oh, you will play with $5 million. Don't worry.
So it's like all these people. Oh, what am I talking about? I had my Cuban friend, Pepe. Pepe spoke like he moved. You have to see me. He moved his whole mouth when he spoke Spanish.
Bueno, uno está pasando aquí a las 8 de la noche contando, tomando y la pelea. Sí, my friend. Cuando uno está pasando.
I mean, these were people from the neighborhood. You know, I mentioned my Israeli cousin, and he had cousins.
No, the link. I never felt that. No, hoy. Yala, we open up pizza together. No, I falafel, yes. No, but the link, what's up with us? And he calls us there. Ma, don't move clearly. What, you crazy? Yala, we make it first. Yala, don't worry.
I wanted to be like all these people. These people were like their personalities inside of me.
Sounds very interesting. Your show, which I gotta catch one of these days, must be fascinating. How does somebody get in touch with you? How do people get you to come to do a show for them?
Well, first of all, you should know I'm working on a one-man show, like a act of my life, with slices of my life, that some things are funny, some things are like more serious. Just, you know, when we're trying to get it like on Broadway, or if we go to California, I'm trying to work on getting something in an LA theater or something like that. So that would be nice, a one-man show about my life, my journeys and everything like that. But in the meantime, I do stand-up impressions and act, and if somebody wants to get in touch with me.
Do you have a website? Do you have a phone? Tell us how people can find you.
A phone I have. Okay, yeah, a phone I have. Website they're working on right now as we speak. I'm on YouTube under Sammy Deuce, something like that, SammyDeuce. Website we have to work on, but should I give out my cell number? Alright, this is just between me and this microphone. Don't give it out to too many people. 917-293-2865. Sammy the Deuce.
And what is your email?
My email is sammydeuce@gmail.com. S-A-M-M-Y D like David, E like Edward, U like Umbrella, C like Charlie, E like Edward, at Gmail.
And what are some of the functions that you're available for?
Anything. Weddings, bar mitzvahs, parties, divorces, chabads, engagements, fundraisers. I'm also an MC, by the way, too. When I do go to institutions, I'm a master of ceremonies. I motivate people to fundraise for that organization. I do that. Anything you have, any kind of function, I could do it. The people will have a good time.
And we are just about out of time. However, you have proven to be a fascinating guest. We have to do this again sometime soon. Meanwhile, thank you very much for listening. Good night, Sami. Good night, our listeners. Good night, one and all.
Thank you, Chaim. It's a pleasure being here. And I wish you the best of luck. And anytime, it'd be my pleasure to be here again.